All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf Zion. We are picking up on daf Vav Amud Beis 6b. And we're picking up four lines up from the bottom. Masnisin delok Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say? Visanya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Malvi Bishar. So remember again, we're speaking about the prohibition to engage in certain types of activities with Ovdei Kochavim for 3 days prior to the beginning of their Yom Tov. So one of the things you can't do ultimately is what? Is collect debts. You can't go ahead and repay the debt. You can't go ahead and the Gemara said collect the debt. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say? Disanyo, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Malva Bishtar in Ephraimahan. Rabbi will say, if the debt was recorded in a document, you can't collect from them. However, Malva or Milva Alpeh Ephraimahan. Rabbi will say, at the end of the day, if the debt was verbal, then you can collect that debt from them even 3 days before the Yom Tov. Why? Because here's the issue. When a debt is not recorded in a document and a debt is verbal, there's a concern that what? There's a concern that the Akum could easily deny it. Because the Akum could deny it, therefore again, the Yisrael runs the risk of a significant loss. As a result, ultimately again, the Yisrael has the right to collect it even 3 days prior to the Yom Tov. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Achorid, Rabbi Abba. So Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba. Yosef, Rabbi Abba, Kameid, Ravuna. And Rabbi Abba was sitting, so we'll say, so Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, again, just one more time, is one who makes this distinction between a debt recorded in a document versus a verbal debt. A debt recorded in a document cannot be collected 3 days prior to the Yom Tov. Why? Because since that debt is collectible, just collect it after the Yom Tov. However, a verbal debt, which is not recorded in a document, we'll say the issue there is one runs the risk of loss. Because of that, one has to collect it whenever possible, and therefore one could collect it even 3 days before the Yom Tov. So says the Gemara. So remember, another Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, Kameid, Achorid, Rabbi Abba, Abba. Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Abba, Kameid, Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba was sitting before Rav Huna. Rabbi Yosef, Vekama, and Rav Huna said the following. Hilchusak, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. So ultimately, again, Rav Huna said, the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Hilchusak, Rabbi Huda. And the halacha follows Rabbi Huda. Hilchusak, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, had the Amr. So we'll say, when he says, when Rav Huna says, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, that's as we just mentioned before, namely, that the prohibition to collect a debt 3 days before the Yom Tov is only a debt recorded in a document. But a debt that is a verbal debt, one could go ahead and collect it even right before the Yom Tov. Even right before the Yom Tov. We'll say, why? Because at the end of the day, one runs the risk of loss, and therefore one could collect it. What about Rabbi Huda? Rabbi Huda disanya hanosin semer latzava litzbala adam vitzavu shachar. What's this interesting case? I give wool to the dyer. Now I give wool to the dyer for the purpose of dyeing it red. And what happens? He makes a mistake and he dyes it black. Or shachar vitzavar adam. Or I want it black and he dyes it red. The point is, he does something that I told him not to do. So we'll say the shaila now is, what are the ramifications? Top of Zion. Rabbi Meir Omer, no sim lo demit samro. Rabbi Meir says, listen, at the end of the day, the dyer gives me back the value of the wool. Meaning I gave him, let's say, wool that was worth $100. He gives me back $100. You don't start getting into what's the value of red wool, black wool. He gives me back $100. I've also said, this is actually very interesting. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, no sin lo, tap Rashi, zayin amud aleph, no sin lo at seva demet samro, no sin lo tseva ze demet samer lavan, kibitchila, emir tsem, disirli the Rabbi Meir, kala mashanami das bailav, nikra gazlon, so this is actually quite interesting. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion of Osai that when you are a craftsman and you deviate from the instructions of the owner of the object, so you become a gazlan, you become a thief. The halacha is a thief acquires the object. Therefore, Rabbi Meir's view, ultimately, again, the thief acquires the wool itself. The thief acquires the wool. And therefore, again, is obligated to go ahead and compensate me for the original value of the wool. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Huda Omer, Ema Shevach Yesra al Hayitzia, no sin o as Hayitzia. Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Huda says it depends. If the appreciation of the wool is greater than the expenses, then no sin lo as Hayitzia. then ultimately, again, the craftsman gives me the value of the expenses. Vim hayitzia yisera ala shevach. But ultimately, again, if the expense, I should say differently, I, the owner of the object, Rabbi uses it differently. If the appreciation is greater than the expenses, no sonas hayitzia. I, the owner of the object, paid the dyer for his expenses. Vim hayitzia yisera ala shevach. But if the expenses are more expensive than the appreciation, then no sonas hashevach. Then I simply pay the dyer for the value of the appreciation. I will say the idea that Rabbi Yehuda says is that lamaisa, I pay the dyer for something, but I pay him the lesser of the two amounts. The lesser of the appreciation of the object or the expenses. Therefore, again, Rav Huna says that the halacha follows Rabbi Meir in this particular case. Rav Yosef la'ape. So we'll say, the Gemara says, Rav Yosef turned his face away. So Rav Yosef turns his face away from Rav Huna in a show of displeasure about Rav Huna's statement. We'll discuss exactly what Rav Yosef didn't like in just a moment. So says the Gemara, Bishlama halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So I understand when Rav Huna said the halacha follows Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, it's tirich. This is a necessary statement. Why? Kesaka taitcha. Remember, what does Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha say? Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha says that the prohibition to collect a debt prior to the yomtiv of Ovdei Kochavim is what? Only if the debt is recorded in writing. Because you could collect that at any time you have a shtar. But if it is a milva alpeh, if the debt is verbal, then Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha paskins, you could even collect it right before their yomtiv. Why? Because it's kimatzil miyadam. Because you run the risk of a loss of the debt being uncollectible if you don't collect it now. So I understand why it was necessary for Rav Huna to say the halacha is like Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Why? It's trich sagadait chamina yachid v'rabim halacha kirabim. Because it was, who is Rav Huna? Who is Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha arguing against? He's arguing against the Rabbanon. Now, under normal circumstances, when you have a machlokes between the yachid and the rabbim, an individual and the collective, or a larger number of people, the halacha usually follows the rabbim. As such, I would have thought that the halacha normally follows the rabbanon, not Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. Therefore, kamash malon halacha ki yachid. Therefore, Rav Huna comes along and teaches me, know that in this particular case, the halacha follows the yachid, the halacha follows the individual. Ultimately, again, and we pass like Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. The Gemara says, Ela, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda lamali. But what's at the end of the day, why do I need Rav Huna to state that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? Why is that necessary? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. I also remember, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion who says what? Rabbi Yehuda holds that if I give wool to the dyer, and what happens? I tell him to dye it red, and he dyes it black. So what is my responsibility to pay the dyer? So Rabbi Yehuda says what? It's the lesser of the expenses or the appreciation. Whatever is the lesser of those two amounts is what I pay the dyer. So says the Gemara, why do I need? The Gemara told me that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So pshita, it's obvious. I'll tell you why. The machlokes va'achar kach stam hilchasa kistam. I will say, in general, we have the following principle. That when you have a machlokis, when you have a matter of halacha, that is the subject of a machlokis, it's the subject of a dispute. But then after following that machlokis, I will say, there is a stam mishnah, which supports one side. The halacha follows the stam mishnah, which I will say, if you think about it, is a fascinating principle. So if there's a machlokis, right, a dispute, followed by a stam. We'll say stam means a one-sided ruling, which reflects one of the two sides of the machlokas. The halacha follows the stam mishnah. Now, both say that would seem to be this scenario. Why? Watch this. Machlokas b'vav kama. Now, both say the machlokas we just quoted above on the top of Zayin Amud Aleph, between Rabbi Meir and Yehuda, that's machlokas in b'vav kama. We saw that machlokas together. Ustam b'vav metzia. But there is a stam mishnah b'vav metzia. What's the stam mishnah above metzia? This nine, Rabbi say, here we go. Kala mishana. Anytime you give an object to a craftsman, and the craftsman deviates from the instructions he was given, yodo ala tachtono. He has the lower hand. He has the lower hand, which I will say supports the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Because what does Rabbi Yehuda say? If I give wool to the craftsman, I tell him to dye it red. And what? He dyes it black. What do I owe him? What do I owe him, I will say? Right, I owe him the lower of the two amounts, the lower of either basu, the lower of either the expenses or or the appreciation. So I'll say, so remember, we begin with a machlokes in Baba Kama, machlokes Rabbi Hud, Rabbi Meir, then we have a stam mishnah above Metzia. And the stam mishnah says that any time the craftsman deviates, yodo al hatachtona, he has the lower hand, which I will say supports the view of Rabbi Yehuda, that I, the owner of the wool, only have to pay the lower of the two amounts of appreciation or expenses. Similarly, v'chalach ozer bo, I will say similarly again, if anyone reneges on an agreement, yodo ala tachtona, the reneger, right? The ultimate again, the person who reneges ultimately is the one who has the lower hand. So says the Gemara, Rav Huna. So I'll say, so what's the pshat? I mean, at the end of the day, if it appears to be that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, so why did Rav Huna have to make a declarative statement? Meaning, at the end of the day, Rav Huna feels compelled to go and say that halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. But again, if we have a principle that machlokes ve'achar kach stam, bless you, if you have a machlokes followed by a stam mishnah, then what? The halacha follows the stam, which seems to tell us that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. If that's the case, then why does Rav Huna feel the need to declare, to make a declarative statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda? I'll tell you why. Mish Rav Huna, nishum de'ein seder the mishnah. The ikalamemar stam tana bereshiva achakach machlokis. Oh, we'll say this is so interesting. Because Rav Huna, we'll say, follows the opinion as follows, which says, who says that there's an order? Who says that there's an order to the Masechtas? Now we'll see what this means in just a moment. So Rav Huna says, you're saying to me that there's a machlokis in Baba Kama and then a stam mishnah in Baba Metzia. But who says that that is the order, that who says that's a chronological order, so to speak, of arguments? Maybe, in fact, the Stam Mishnah of Bava Metzia was stated before the Machlokias in Baba Kama, in which case, again, I will say, the principle we're trying to employ does not work. Now, remember, the principle only goes in one direction. If you have a Machlokias and then a Stam, then the Halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. If you have a Stam and then a Machlokias, the Halacha doesn't necessarily follow the Stam Mishnah. So all Rav Huna is saying is, you're looking at the Machlokias in Baba Kama and then the Stam Mishnah in Bava Metzia as a almost like a linear progression from Baba Kama to Baba Metzia. Rav Huna says, who says? Who says? And therefore Rav Huna feels compelled to go ahead and say that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, Ihachi, well, one second, if that's the case, but one second, then why don't you say that everywhere? In other words, why don't you say that in every single situation? Remember, we have a principle that says machlokes va'achar kach stam, that if you have a dispute, and then that is followed afterwards by a stam mishnah, that the halacha follows a stam mishnah. Now we're always assuming a chronological progression, but maybe not. Who says that again the stam came after the machlokes? To which someone says, no, Rav Huna, Kilo Amrinan ein seder b'chada mesechta. Rav Huna will say, when do we say that there's not a seder? That's only in one mesechta. So we'll say, in one tractate, in one mesechta itself, it could be that even though something appears, you know, on a later daf than something else, lav dafka means that there's a chronology to that. Betray mesechti arminon. But I will say, in two mesechtos, ultimately, again, we will say that it follows a progression. Therefore, I will say, if you have a machlokes in one mesechta, and then in a later mesechta, you have a stam mishnah, so that'll qualify for the principle of stam, or I should say, machlokes, va'achar kach stam, halocha kistam. But Rav Yosef will say, and I will say, this is the reason why Rav Yosef got upset, Kula nezikin chada mesechtihi. He holds that all of nezikin, I will say, is treated like one mesechta, and therefore, again, whatever you see in the seder of nezikin ultimately follows a chronological progression. Therefore, he sees it as a davar pashut, that first you have the machlokes in Baba Kama, then the stam mishnah Baba Metzia, which tells you by itself that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. I don't need Rav Huna to make a declarative statement that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. To which the Gemara said, "Vibay same." I will say the other possibility is mishum diktanile gavi hilchasa psikta. But I said there's another reason why Rav Huna did not need to state that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, and that's because why? That's because at the end of the day, this is also what we call halacha psikta. But I said halacha psikta is this is codified elsewhere as an agreed upon halacha. Kala meshane yado ala tachtona. We'll say that anyone who goes ahead and deviates from the terms of his craftsman, of his agreement, ultimately, again, the one who changes the terms has the lower hand. Similarly, anyone who reneges on an agreement, yado ala tachtona. Ultimately, again, he has the lower hand as well. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, the Rambam does accept the position of Rabbi Yoshua ben Karacha, namely again Abosai, that when the Mishnah talks about the prohibition of collecting debts within 3 days prior to the Yom Tov of the Akum, that is only by a debt recorded in a document. Because since the debt is secured by a document, you could collect it just as easily after the Yom Tov as well. But if it is a verbal debt, there is no document. And therefore, again, the Jew, every day the Jew doesn't collect it, increases his risk of non-collection because the Akum could just deny it in totality. That type of debt can be collected even 3 days prior to the Yom Tov of the Akum, because Lashem Mitneshu Kumetzel Miyadam, he's saving himself from a loss. Furthermore, again, Abbas, even though this is not the sugya, we do pass skin like Rabbi Yehuda, and in this case over here, where I give the dyer wool, and I tell him to dye it red, and he dyes it black, so what do I owe him? What do I owe him? So remember, Rabbi Meir says you owe him nothing, you just get back the value of your wool. Rabbi Yehuda says, I do owe him, what do I owe him? The lesser of the two amounts, either the lesser of the expenses, or of the appreciation. Listen to this. We'll say, so now once we're quoting Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha, the Gemara quotes a whole bunch of other rulings of Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha. So lo yomar adam lechaveiro hanira shetamot imi la'erev. We'll say a person shouldn't say to his friend, this is from a conversation on Shabbos, maybe you'll come with me on Matzei Shabbos. Now look at Rashi just a moment. Hanira, it's towards the bottom of Rashi. Ata nira lashon havo novo. Lo yomer lo b'Shabbos. Hanira tamot imi la'erev lasos b'mlachti la'erev. So we'll say, a person can say to his friend, no, maybe you'll come with me. Maybe you'll come with me, you know, to help me out on Matzei Shabbos. And it's clear that what am I referring to? I'm referring to work that I need Reuven to do. Right, so maybe Hanira, if possible, maybe you'll come with me Matzah Shabbos to whatever it is to help me. I will say in this context, Reuven understands what I mean when I say help me. Yeah, help me with my field, help me with whatever it is. So the Gemara says you're not allowed. Rabbi Shimon Karcha says, excuse me, the Braisa says that I want to say you're not allowed to say this. I will say now you're not allowed to say this. Why? Because ultimately, this is a situation of prohibited speech on Shabbos. The halacha is that on Shabbos, one is v'daber davar. We learn that from the pasuk that one is supposed to speak differently on Shabbos. That diburcha shal Shabbos lo teki diburcha shal chol. The way you speak on Shabbos should be different than the way you speak during the week. And therefore, one ultimately again shouldn't engage in mundane matters. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karach Omer adam lechavera hanira shetamot imi la'erev. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karach says, no, you are permitted to go ahead and make such a statement. Now, we'll say, what's Rabbi Yoshua ben Karach's logic? His logic, I will say, is that halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Shimon Karcha says, it's only prohibited if you explicitly articulate that you wanted to come to do work. Meaning, hanira imi la'erev is a generally innocuous, open-ended statement. I'm not saying anything about work. I'm not saying anything about malacha. I'm just saying, hey, maybe you'll come along with me on Matzei Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon Karcha says, such a statement is mutter. So it says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kiv Rabbi Shimon Karcha. So Rabbi says, Rabba Bar Chana says, that halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Karcha, that such a statement indeed is permitted. Why? Because it makes no explicit mention of malacha. Ten Rabbanan. We'll say, listen to this. Hanisha, this is an important principle, Rabbi will say. Hanisha lachacham v'timei. Lo yisha lechacham v'yitayr. If you asked the Talmud Chacham a shayla, and the Talmud Chacham says it's tameh, don't go and ask someone else who is going to tell you that it's tahor. So lechacham va'aser, or you ask the Talmud Chacham, and the Chacham told you that it's aser. Lo yisha lechacham v'yatir. Do not ask another Chacham who will give you a heter. Hayushnayim. Let's say again, there are two Talmidei Chachamim sitting there. Echad netami ve'echad metayer, echad osa ve'echad matir. So I'll say, in this case over here, I go to ask a shayla. And I happen to ask, there are two Talmidei Chachamim sitting together. And I happen to ask them the shayla. And again, one says mutter, one says aser. One says tamei, one says tar. So I'll say, what's the halacha? So meaning now, shayla is, who do I follow? Right? So, it's amazingly enough, the answer is not whoever I want. Right? So, amazingly enough, even for this, there is a mechanism. If one of the two Talmidei Chacham Rav Osai was greater than the other, Bechachma means in wisdom, Beminyan. What does Minyan mean, Rav Osai? In age. In age. So if one of the Talmidei Chacham was greater than his fellow in wisdom and in age, then halach acharav. Then ultimately, again, you follow that one. Ve'im lav. And if not, halach achar hamachmir. Follow the one who is more machmir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha says, B'shal Torah halach achar hamachmir. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha says, when it comes to a doraisa, so follow the one who is more machmir. B'shal sofrim halach achar hamekel. So mostly Rabbi Yeshua ben Karacha says, it depends. In a doraisa, follow the more machmir. In a derabanan, follow the more mekel. Which I'm supposed to say makes sense. What Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha is saying is essentially, when you have a machlokes titamedi chachamim, this becomes a suffix. So it'll be suffix doraisa l'chumra. When you have doubts regarding biblical law, you go l'chumra. Suffix derabanan l'kula, doubts regarding rabbinic law, you'll go l'kula. Amar Rabbi Yosef, hilchasak Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha. Rabbi Yosef says, the halacha follows Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karacha. Fine. 10 rabbanim. So the Gemara goes right there. Kulan shechazru bahen in mekaben osron. We'll say this is an amazing statement. So all kulan shechazru. We'll say all of these people who did tshuva. Who are all of these people? Look at Rashi. The kulan shechazru. We'll say four lines from the bottom of Rashi. Agazlonin va'ami aretz kair. We'll say let's say somebody was a thief, and therefore again they are apostle le'edus. And now what happens? The person wants to do tshuva. So we'll say, so can you be mekabel the tshuva of the individual? So the Gemara says all of these individuals of the tshuva. Ein mekablin osan olamis. The Rebbe Meir. Meir says, we do not accept them as bali tshuva. What? What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Ein mekablin osan, lachzikan b'toras chavrus lismoch aleihem. We'll define the scope of this. Rebbe Meir says, essentially, once someone has established himself as a gazlon, or as an ama oretz, essentially, again, he cannot redeem his reputation. Rabbi Huda Omer, chazru b'hen b'matmonios, in mekablin osan, if the person does tshuva privately, then that doesn't change their status. Befar hesya, but if the person does tshuva publicly, that does change their status. Mekablin osan, igedam rebose, others say, asu divrei b'matmonios mekablin osan. If rebose, the averos which were committed, which relegated a person to a compromised status, were done, bitsina, were done ultimately at matmonios, were done quietly or in a hidden way, in a private way, then you have the ability to accept them as bali tshuva. However, Amad Bezer will say, b'farhesya, if ever chas Hashem the avera was done b'farhesya, ein mekablin osan, they will say, they cannot redeem their public reputation. Will say, I want to be clear, this is not talking about a person's ability to become a bal tshuva on a private level. Well, right, that's the Timin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is talking about, again, if somebody has established for himself a certain identity as a gazlan, as an ama aretz, based on his public behaviors, so does he have the ability to rehabilitate his reputation? So we'll say, so Rabbi Meir is now suggesting over here that it depends. Rabbi Huda is saying that it depends. If he went ahead and he committed these averos privately, then he has the ability to rehabilitate his reputation. If however he did these averos publicly, his reputation is beyond repair. Look at Rashi. Tap Rashi Zayin Amud Beis Befar Hesya. Hoyil upakru kol kach. Shuv einostin liban lasho b'tshuva shlema. We'll say, if a person is so brazen to sin publicly, if a person is so brazen to commit an avera b'farhesya, such a person usually doesn't do tshuva shlema. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach Omer, both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach say, beinkach ubeinkach mekablin. We'll say, beautiful. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach say, that no matter what a person did, person did an avera b'tzina b'matmonios, a person did it privately, person did it publicly, whatever type of avera a person did, ultimately, again, we are mekabel them b'tshuva. We accept their tshuva. Rabbi Yosef, if a person does tshuva and it's a genuine tshuva, we allow them to rehabilitate their reputations. Why? Shene emar, shuvu banim shovavim. Because Rabbi Yosef, as the pasuk says, return, O wayward children. Return, so what is this? Rabbi Yosef, Rashi says, shovavim, mashma mazidim, o befarhesya, Lashon Mered VeGaiva Kama Vayelech Shove BeDerech Libo. We'll say the Lashon Shove doesn't just mean wayward, that's the English word we use, but Shove means even if you went ahead and you violated Avera BeFarhesia, even if you did it BeMazid, if you did it in BeGaiva, BeMered, BePesha, any type of Avera you did, the Ribon Shalom says, come back. We'll say such is the love that the Ribon Shalom has for us, that no matter what I have done, and no matter how I have done it, the Ribono Shel Olam says to me, come home. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Karacha says, no matter what you've done, you have the ability to rehabilitate your reputation and to ultimately do tshuva. Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Ish Kfar Akko, Rabbi Yitzchak from Akko said, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchasa Keosa Hazug. The halacha follows this pair. The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosheb ben Karacha, and therefore the halacha is, no matter what a person has done wrong, they have the ability to do tshuva. Beautiful, Rabbi Yosef. Says the Mishnah. Alright, Rabbi Yosef, right, Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel, says, Shlosh of the name, Shlosh of the Acharim, Asim. Rabbi Yosef comes on, Rabbi Shmuel. We actually saw this alluded to in last week's daf. Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Yosef, not only are the 3 days prior to the Yom Tov of the Akum Asr in all of these transactions, but 3 days after the Yom Tov is also Asr. The Chum say, no, only before the Yom Tov is Asr, La'achar Idehen Mutr. After the Yom Tov will be Mutr. So says the Gemara Bosai, Amr Av Tachlifa Bar Avdimi Amr Shmuel, Yom Echa L'Div Rabbi Shmuel L'Olam Asr. Bosai, this, by the way, we saw this quoted in yesterday's daf, as an aside. Rabbi Shmuel also, in addition to saying that the transactional prohibition applies 3 days before their Yom Tov and 3 days after their Yom Tov, Rabbi Shmuel is also of the opinion that you are never permitted to transact business with an Akum on Sunday. On Sunday, why? Because every Sunday is a day of Avodah Zarah. It's not just because of football. Every single Sunday. The Avodah Zarah also. But every single Sunday, right, the Avodah Zarah was considered to be a Yom Tov of Avodah Zarah for the Akum. The Avodah Zarah, Rashi says something dramatically wild. If you look at Rashi, it's the third wide line down from the top of the Olam Asr. Shlosha Lefanov, Ushlosha Acharov, Vuhu Atzmo, Kilomar Kol Shiva Simei HaShabbos. We'll say what Rabbi Shmuel actually holds is as follows. Remember, we just got finished saying that Rabbi Shmuel, we're going to bring everything together. Three principles colliding in one space. Principle number one is that Rabbi Shmuel's prohibition on business transaction with an Akum is 3 days before, 3 days after. Furthermore, we saw in yesterday's daf, that's what? Rabbi Shmuel, at least it appears right now, also holds that it's Hain below Idehen. That the 3 days is in addition to the Yom Tov itself. So it's 3 days plus the Yom Tov. Rabbi Shmuel also holds that what? Every single Sunday is a Yom Tov for the Akum. So if you put all of those things together, what do you get? Never. You can never transact business with an Akum. Because if every single Sunday is a Yom Tov, then the 3 days before that, not including Shabbos, Sunday, and the 3 days after that, not including Sunday, I will say essentially answers business with an Akum the entire week, which I will say is a very, very dramatic position, precisely the position of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, we're gonna further discuss the Shita. Says the Gemara, V'cham say lefnei yidein aser, la'achar yidein mutar. The Chachamim say, so remember, we have Rabbi Shmuel and the Mishnah saying, 3 days before, 3 days after. The Chachamim say, before the Yom Tov is aser, after the Yom Tov is mutar. Chachamim hainu tanakama. So we'll say, here's the problem. The Chachamim of this Mishnah seem to be saying the same thing as the Tanakama of the previous Mishnah. So, but obviously they can't be saying the same thing, because if they were saying the same thing, then what? Then the Mishnah over here would not feel the need to once again say, Chachamim omrim lifnei idehen aser, la'achar idehen mutter. The fact that the Mishnah feels compelled to restate this Shita means the Chachamim of this Mishnah must be saying something different than the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, Iko ben, I'll tell you the difference between them. Tanakhama sover, the Tanakhama of the previous Mishnah holds, Hain below Idehen, holds also that the 3 days do not include the Yom Tov itself. But the Chum of this Mishnah also hold that the 3 days include the actual day of the Yom Tov as well. We'll say that's possibility one. The second possibility is Nasa v'Nasan Ikavena. We'll say that ultimately again, what happens if you violate it? What happens, although you're not permitted to transact business with an Akum in the days leading up to his Yom Tov, what happens if you did? Well, so when we say what happens if you did is, what is the status of those proceeds? Tanakama sover nasav anatan mutar. Tanakama holds that if you violated and you went ahead and you transacted business, the proceeds will be mutar. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, hold, the Rabbanan of this Mishnah hold, that if you transacted business, the proceeds will be asur. Vivoy same Rabbos, another possibility is, the Shmuel Ikabinayim, that maybe their Machol Kisavosa is about the statement of the Shmuel, so listen to this. Shmuel, Bagola, Ein Asur Ella Yom Idam. It was actually quite interesting. Shmuel holds that in Galus Rabbosa, only the actual day of the Yom Tov is Aser. Meaning, Shmuel holds that outside of Eretz Yisrael, the prohibition of the previous 3 days does not apply. Only the day of the Yom Tov itself is Aser. Now, we'll say, what's the pshat? This is amazing, by the way. Listen to this incredible Musar. Rashi says, Bagola. You see where that is in Rashi in the short lines? Probably about the 12 lines in. Bagola. Ein ha'ovdin kochavim adukin kol kach ba'avodas kochavim. Now, we'll say, I want to tell you something amazing. Eretz Yisrael is so dramatically halig that even the idolaters of Eretz Yisrael are starker. The idea is that the idolaters of Eretz Yisrael, they're stark idolaters. The idolaters of Chutz La'aretz, they're more modern. You know, they're a little bit more modern, right? You know, the idolaters of Chutz La'aretz are both saying, so they're not as stark. They're not as adukim. They're not as attached to Avodah Zarah. They do it because whatever, but it's not so passionate. They don't do it with so much meaning. It's not such a brand with it. So Rabbi says it's amazing. So Shmuel says that ultimately, again, you could transact business with them even right up to their Yom Tov. Not on the Yom Tov itself, but even right up to the Yom Tov. Why? Because at the end of the day, they're not really going to give Shevach Vodah. They're not going to give praise to their idol like the idolaters of Eretz Yisrael would. Rabbi says, if that's what the land does, Rabbi says, the koach of Eretz Yisrael is, it amplifies the koach hanafshi of a person. Eretz Yisrael amplifies the spiritual koach of a person. The great unknown, or the great variable, is how you go ahead and you choose to use your spiritual energy. That's why I will say you see the greatest amount of passion to be found in this world, on all sides, is in Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't matter Jew and non-Jew, it's the koach of the land. It amplifies the koach hanafshi, koach haruchni of the person. The only shayla is how you choose to plug that in. That's why Eretz Yisrael is the site of every single one of the most passionate conflicts of mankind. Always occurs on the soil of Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, I will say the Gemara says, Tana kama islay de Shmuel. So the Tana of the previous Mishnah holds of Shmuel. Rabbanan basra islay de Shmuel. I will say ultimately again, the Chachamim of this Mishnah don't hold of Shmuel. Okay. Ibai same. I will say the other possibility is, what's the nafkamina between the two? Or what's the machlokes? The Nachum Hamadi Ikabeya. I will say the machlokes is regarding a statement of Nachum Hamadi. So they'll say, Nachum Hamadi means Nachum from Media, from Madai. So the Sanya, Nachum Hamadi Omer, Eino Asr Ela Yom Echa Lifnei Adena. I will say Nachum Hamadi is of the opinion. He disagrees with everyone. Nachum Hamadi, I will say, holds that only the day before, the only Erev Yom Tov. Only Erev Yom Tov. I will say, everybody agrees you can't transact business with the Akum on Yom Tov, on their Yom Tov itself. So I will say Nachum Hamadi says, also Erev Yom Tov. But only one day, only Erev Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, Lifnei Adena, Tana Kama is less than Nachum Hamadi. But I will say, the Tana of the previous Mishnah does not hold of Nachum Hamadi. But Rabbanan Basra, I will say, first white line, Islu de Nachum Hamadi. I will say, the Rabbanan of this Mishnah do hold of Nachum Hamadi. I will say, just to give an interesting diyuk, if you look in our Mishnah, the Chacham just say, the Chacham Omrim, Lifnei Idehen Aser. The Gemara is suggesting that perhaps the Chacham of our Mishnah, when they say that before the Yom Tov is Aser, they don't mean 3 days. Even though everybody's talking about 3 days up until now, perhaps they subscribe to the opinion of Nachum Hamadi that only what? We'll say, only one day. We'll say, first wide line, Gufa. Then we'll say, now here's what's interesting. Now that we just quoted Nachum Hamadi, we're going to quote a number of different rulings from him. So first we're going to go back and explore the one we just mentioned. Nachum Hamadi Omer Eino Aser El Yom Echad Lifnei Eden. Nachum Hamadi said that only Erev Yomtiv of the Akum's Yomtiv is Aser. So the Gemara said, Amr lo, Nishtake Hadavar velo Ne'emar. So the rabbi said, let this matter be forgotten and let's not talk about it. Rashi says, what does that mean? Nishtake Hadavar. Lo yotza, we'll say it's almost right across in Rashi. Lo yotza davar zemi pi adam li olam. So we'll say it could be what they're saying is Nachum Hamadi never said that. No one ever said this. Or lishnachrina lo yetze davar zelochutz. Or even if Nachum Hamadi did say this, then what? Don't publicize it. Don't publicize. So we'll say two possibilities: either Nachum Hamadi never said it, or even if he said it, shut it down. Shut it down. So the Gemara says, 1 second, we just established that what? That the Rabbanim, the Chachamim of our Mishnah, in fact, do hold this way. Man Chachamim, we'll say, who are the Chachamim? Nachum Hamadir. We'll say, it could be when the Mishnah says Chachamim, the Chachamim in fact is Nachum Hamadi. Fine, tiny dech, we'll say another braisa. Now again, now that we mentioned Nachum Hamadi, we're going to quote a couple of other rulings that were said in his name. Tanya Idach. Nachum Hamadi Omer. Mochrim lemsus zacher v'zaki b'mochamer. We'll say we're actually going to discuss this about the halacha of selling behema gasa, large animals, to non-Jews. We're going to discuss certain prohibitions concerning that, which have to deal with Hilchos Shabbos. So again, we're not going to delve into it now. Right now, we're just going to take this ruling at face value. So Nachum Hamadi says, let me just give you this piece of background. The halacha is, I'm not allowed to rent a behema gasa, which Rav Osai usually is an animal that's used for work, to an akum if that rental is going to extend over Shabbos. Why? Because if the akum goes ahead and works that animal over Shabbos, effectively it's what? It's my animal that's working on Shabbos. Because since it's a rental, I am still the titular owner, right? I go ahead, I have title. I have title to that animal. So because I am the owner, it is my animal that's working on Shabbos. So the rabbis enacted a number of different gezeros in order not to come to that type of situation. Nachum Hamadi is saying, an exception to that rule is, you can sell an akum, an old male horse, in a time of war. And so we'll say it's a very limited dispensation, right? An old male horse in a time of war. So if we look at Rashi is mochran lehem sus zachar zakin b'soach amokama she'inu el lekilkul umilsa lo shikul. Because we'll say the assumption is that usually if it's during wartime, those animals are not going to really be used for work, rather they'll be used for war. And again, apparently the Gemara operates under the assumption that most animals that go out to war are killed in battle. So as such, again, there's no real concern that one may come to use this animal for work on Shabbos. Amr lo, so they said to Nachum Hamadi, Nishtake hadavar velo ne'amar. So we'll say once again, the Rabbanon shut down Nachum Hamadi. And they say to him, quiet down. Quite an ishtake adavar, let the matter be forgotten, and we're not going to publicize this. Next, so the Gemara says, "V'ha'ika ben b'seira d'kai kavase." But 1 second, there's ben b'seira who holds like Nachum Hamadi, this none, ben b'seira matir b'sus. So ultimately, again, it says that ben b'seira permits, ultimately, again, the selling of a horse. Rashi says, "Ben b'seira matir b'sus." It's actually interesting. Ben Beseir says, because we'll see later on, the only issue of selling a large animal to an akum are usually animals that are used for work in a field. Because a horse is not usually used for work in a field, but rather is used ultimately again for people to ride on, therefore Ben Beseir says that the rabbinic prohibition does actually not apply to a horse. So the Gemara says, but 1 second, Ben Beseir, lo maflig bein zachar l'nekevos. Ben Beseira did not make a distinction between male horses and female horses. Ihu midikamaflik bein bizchar l'nekevos kirab on a svirle. So we'll say ultimately again, but Ben Beseira, who goes ahead and makes a distinction between the zachar l'nekevos, holds like the Rabbanon. Rabbanon is shtaka d'avar lo ne'amar, and the Rabbanon just said, let the matter be forgotten and not be spoken about. So we'll say another ruling of Ben Azai that is shelved. Not Ben Azai, I'm sorry. Nachum Hamadi. Another ruling of Nachum Hamadi that is shelved. Next, Tanya, Nachum Hamadi Omer Hasheves. We'll say Sheves is dill. Dill. So dill misaser zera v'yerek v'zirin. So we'll say apparently dill can be consumed in a number of different ways. It could be consumed in seed form, in fully formed vegetable form, and in shoot form. Therefore, Rabosai, however a person chooses to consume this particular item, the obligation, Rabosai, let me say it differently. The obligation for Meiser is triggered when a food item has reached a completed state. What the Gemara now is saying over here is that what the Brice is saying is that at the end of the day, dill can be consumed in three different ways. Seed form, vegetable form, and shoot form. Whichever form you're consuming it in triggers the obligation for Meiser. Rashi says over here, Mis aser zera v'yerak u'zirin, bein shalaktu kishu yerak, bein shalaktu kishu zirin, u'bein she'nichu ad she'tzamchu garin e'zara b'socho, v'okshu chavatan, l'tzarech la'aser es hazer midrabanan. The orche le'michle zera v'yerak u'zirin. So we'll say, however you're going to eat it, it triggers an obligation from Meiser. Amru lo, nishkak ke'hadavar v'lo ne'amar. So the rabbis once again said, let the matter be forgotten, and not be spoken about. Shelve it. But one second, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Nochem Amadi Disnan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Hashavis Mis Aseres Zera Zera V'Yerek V'Zirin. But one second, Rabbi Eliezer seems older. We'll say that what? That dill can be consumed either as a seed, as a vegetable, or as a shoot. So you see, we'll say that again. He holds like Nochem Amadi. No. Hasam Bidag Nunisa. So apparently, Rabbi Eliezer is only talking about garden dill. So apparently garden variety dill is what's okay. Nachamadi is talking about dill in general. So because of that, ultimately, again, the rabbis step in and they shelve Nacham Hamadi's ruling. So Bosa, listen to this. So now Bosa gets a little bit heated. Amalir Ravacha bar minyumi la'abaye. So Ravacha bar minyumi says, Abaye, I don't understand what you're doing. Gavra Rabba Asami Asrin. There is a great man who comes from my sin, Abosai. Rav Acha Bar Minyumi is also from Modai. And he is getting very upset that every single one of Nachum's statements is getting shelved. So Rav Acha Bar Minyumi says, Abai, I don't understand. There's a great man from my city, from Modai. And every single thing that he says, Komisl de Amrilei, Amrilei Nishtake Darvalo Nemar. Every single thing that comes out of Nachum's mouth, you're going ahead and you're shelving. Why are you doing that? Amar ika chada davinan kavase. So Rabosai, so ultimately again, Abaye says, calm down. There is something that we hold like Nacham Hamadi about. And I mean, don't think we shelve every one of his rulings, just most of them. But there is something that we go to in Paskin like him. How do we pass like him? Well, listen to this. Tesanya. Nacham Hamadi Omer, Shoel Adam Tzrachav B'Shomei HaTfilah. Vase Nacham Hamadi says that a person could ask for his requests in Shomea Tefillah. The Rabbah says, in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah in Shmona Esrei, that a person could be marich, Rashi says, or marich bav shol tzrachav. A person could go ahead and ask all of his needs in Shomea Tefillah. Amar bar minei. So Rabbah says, apparently Rav Achar bar Minyumi is not impressed, because he says, okay, everybody holds like that. Dahahi detalye ba'ashli ravrevi. Rabbah says, literally, because this is a ruling which is supported by thick or heavy ropes. The idea being that we'll go, as we're going to explore this, now it's actually going to be a beautiful sugya. So we'll say, this is not unique to Nacham Hamadi. This opinion is held by many. This sanya, we'll say, here we go. We'll say, this is actually a very beautiful sugya. The sanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shoel Adam Tzracha V'Achar Kach Yispal. We'll say, Rabbi Eliezer says that a person should first ask his needs, and only then davna. We'll say, now when the Gemara says Yispalo over here, Rashi says, means Yud Ches, Shmona Esrei, which but really is referring to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person should first ask his needs, and then he daven Shmona Esrei. Then he should daven with supplicatory prayer afterwards. Shneemar, where does he get this from? So we'll say, this is very interesting. But again, so Rabbi Eliezer's Shita is, ask your needs first, praise second. Shneemar, Tfila La'oni Kiyatov, Lifnei Hashem Yishbok Sicho. Literally, again, the prayer for the Ani. We'll say Ani could not just mean poor, but Ani could also mean afflicted. Kiyatov, and he wraps himself. Lifnei Hashem Yishbok Sicho. And before Hashem, he will spill his Sicho. Ein Sicho Ela Tfila. And Sicho, I will say, means Tfila. Sicho means prayer. Shene Emar, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh. Yitzchak went ahead and went out to pray in the field. So we'll say, the drush over here is Tfila La'ani Kiyatov seems to mean my requests. So I am permitted to lodge my requests, and then I daven, then I do Shmona Esrei. So petitions, requests first, Shmona Esrei afterwards. Yeshua says, no, Yispalo v'achar kach yishal tzrachav. Just the opposite. First you should daven Shmona Esrei, daven, right? Praise, bakasha, hodah, or I should say praise, shevach, hodah, thanksgiving, and then you should ask your request. Ne'emar, eshboch lefanav sichi, I will pour my siach, my prayer before you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sarasi lefanav agid. I will put my suffering before you. So I have Rabbi Lazar Nami Aksiv Eshboch Lefon of Sichi. I have Rabbi Lazar, he also has the Pasuk of Eshboch Lefon of Sichi. Hachi Kamer, this is what it means to say. Eshboch Lefon of Sichi. When will I go ahead and pour my Siach in front of you? When will I pour my prayers in front of you? Bizman Shetzara Silefon of Agid. When I tell you my troubles first. When I first ask for you my questions, then I'll dive into you after those. Yeshua Nami Haksiv Tfilani Kiyato. I Rabbi Yeshua, it also says Tfilani Kiyato. Hachi Kamer. A Masai Tfilul Ani, ultimately again, when is the Tfilul Ani, when could the Ani ask for his requests? Bizman, Shelifnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. Ultimately again, only when what? Only when he first pours out his Siach, his prayer, ultimately again, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says, Michti, Kroi, Lo Kimar Daiki, Velo Kimar Daiki. So we'll say, bottom line is, the psukim are inconclusive. The psukim can be interpreted in each way. B'maikam, if the Gira, I will say, ultimately, again, what are they arguing about? And I will say, Mirzim, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with the statement of Rabbi Smaloi. I will say, we'll continue with that. I will say, Mazel Tov to Mr. Lussman on the occasion of the engagement of his granddaughter. Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. And I will say, Shkach, we'll pick up over here, Mirzim Hashem, tomorrow morning on Zayin Amud Beis. Beautiful. Right now.